This is Sarah Chaffee with ID the Future. On today's podcast, we will be discussing how many scientific findings have turned out not to be reproducible, and how even this recent process of error discovery reaffirms the scientific method. But can researchers question the answer when it comes to evolution? Walking on the University of Washington campus here in Seattle last week, I saw a banner proclaiming, "Question the answer." It's fitting that this flag is on the campus of a research university where scientists and students from all disciplines seek knowledge. It's healthy to confront the fluidity and uncertainty of scientific truth. In reality, though, when it comes to the mechanisms of evolution, current thinking discourages questioning the answer in the lab and in the biology classroom. An article in Quartz titled, "Many Scientific Truths Are in Fact False," reminds readers of how many recent scientific findings have turned out not to be reproducible. But author Olivia Goldhill looks on the bright side, observing that it is all part of the scientific process. For example, a 2005 paper found that of 34 well-regarded medical research results that were retested, 41% had been contradicted or found to be significantly exaggerated. A project that sought to reproduce 100 psychological experiments had only a 40% success rate. The publication notes that, quote, by some estimates, at least 51% and as much as 89% of published papers are based on studies and experiments showing results that cannot be reproduced, unquote. Goldhill attributes this phenomenon, which could be regarded as scandalous, to two factors. First, the push to publish, with journals preferring contributions that show significant results. And second, scientists mining large volumes of data for significant correlations. Yet, she sees a silver lining. Quote, "The idea that papers are publishing false results might sound alarming, but the recent crisis doesn't mean that the entire scientific method is totally wrong. In fact, science's focus on its own errors is a sign that researchers are on exactly the right path," unquote. Or, as Evan Aronsky at Retraction Watch told Quartz, quote, "If you never find mistakes or failures to reproduce in your field, you're probably not asking the right questions," unquote. And they're correct, of course. But who will tell the evolutionists? Scientists and science teachers alike are expected to uphold allegiance to neo-Darwinism. As scientists arguing for a new extended evolutionary synthesis told Nature, quote, "The number of biologists calling for change in how evolution is conceptualized is growing rapidly. Strong support comes from allied disciplines, particularly developmental biology, but also genomics, epigenetics, ecology, and social science. We contend that evolutionary biology needs revision if it is to benefit fully from these other disciplines. The data supporting our position gets stronger every day." Yet the mere mention of the extended evolutionary synthesis often evokes an emotional, even hostile reaction among evolutionary biologists. Too often, vital discussions descend into acrimony with accusations of muddle or misrepresentation. Perhaps haunted by the specter of intelligent design, evolutionary biologists wish to show a united front to those hostile to science. Some might fear that they will receive less funding and recognition if outsiders, such as physiologists or developmental biologists, flood into their field. Unquote. So groupthink and self-censorship are, or should be, a concern. Meanwhile, one-sided teaching of evolution misinforms students about the nature of science. It may lead them to see neo-Darwinism as a fact rather than an area of ongoing scientific debate. It certainly lends support to the mistaken idea that scientific ideas, once established, are no longer open to questioning. Pedagogy in general benefits from critical thinking, not excluding on the subject of science. As Nature notes, quote, "Students gain a much deeper understanding of science when they actively grapple with questions than when they passively listen to answers." Quote, "Science isn't about truth and falsity. It's about reducing uncertainty. said Brian Nozick, the psychology professor who tried to repeat 100 experiments, told Quartz. Quote, really, this whole project is science on science. Researchers doing what science is supposed to do, which is be skeptical of our own process, procedures, methods, and look for ways to improve, unquote. Neo-Darwinism is ripe for just such an approach. For ID the Future, this is Sarah Chaffee. Thank you for listening. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.